Please rise. God's grace, His mercy, His love, and the unity of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit are yours in abundance. The Word of God for our consideration this morning are the words recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read 12 through 27. Let me just direct your attention to the opening verse and the last. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized. Whoops, I'm sorry, I wanted to go to 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you are part of it. Let's pause there and offer prayer. Dearest Jesus, your body is the Holy Church, and you have united us all as members of your body. We rejoice that you have given each person a special place and skills and service within your church. Let us not only see how each one of us is needed, but also trust that every individual is useful to your body. Lord, we now ask you to forgive us for our sinful desires and for our failing to use our gifts to serve the body. Continue to unite us by your word and spirit so that we may grow to appreciate each one of the blood-bought souls that are united in the church. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I do greet you all this morning in the name of Christ Jesus, the one who has redeemed us and restored us, the one who has set us free, the one who has forgiven all our sins, the one who now unites us, calling us to be united in his one body that he calls the church. I greet you as uniquely gifted, redeemed sinners of Christ Jesus. This morning, the Apostle Paul was trying to get us to understand the relationship of us in the church and his body, with him being the head. What better place to turn to where he simply says, take a look at your own body. Let's use that for an example. You see, we all have a body. You've looked in the mirror. Sometimes you wonder where that youthful body went to, but you still have a body. As you look at it, you could see that there are clearly unique parts. And we also see that not all of these parts serve the same function. Each part is different. Each part has a special function. The parts that we can't see that function inside our body each have unique functions for those as well. But the external ones are at least obvious to us. Each part is different. But all parts are your body. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 15, he said, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. Your feet, your hands, your eyes, your ears, they are not independent of the body. They are all part of the body. They are all perfectly aligned as God has placed them. Each part of your body does not argue with the other part, thinking, oh, if I'm a foot, I'd rather be a hand. Your foot isn't arguing to be a hand. Your ears aren't arguing to be eyes. They each know their unique part, and they are glad to fulfill and function according to the way they have been placed. No part will be better than the other when it comes to serving the entire body. Yes, certain functions of our body seems to be having higher skills and are maybe more obvious. But yet each part of the body is absolutely necessary so that it can perform at the level God expects it to be performing at. One part can't say, because I am not this, I don't belong. What if they were all eyes? If every part wanted to be an eye? He talks about that a little later. Each one of our body parts are unique, but they all function together. And all the body rejoices when everything is functioning fine. Now, you know how it is when a certain body part, take your little toe for example, gets stubbed. The whole body seems to grimace in pain because this one little insignificant part of the body is suffering. You see, it's all connected. The entire body is united together to serve the function of the body. In our body parts, they don't envy one another. They don't covet one another. They don't even seek to harm each other because they are all united in one body. Each part serves its function. Each part rejoices as things are moving forward. As Paul writes in this section today, he wants us to simply look at our own body and then draw the comparison to the body of Christ, meaning his church and the people who serve it. So Paul maybe asks us to use our imagination just for a few moments. He says, what if the whole body were an eyeball? Well, we don't even have to read the rest of the text because we would say, Paul, that doesn't even make an ounce of sense. If there was just one big eyeball, how would we eat? How would we walk? How would we think? How would we play games? How would we interact? How would we be creative if we were just one big eyeball? Paul says the fact is God has arranged each and every part of your physical body just the way he wants them. And he wants them to be united, and they are. See, God designed our bodies with great diversity within them. Every part is needed. Every part serves a function. Every part serves the entire body. So God uses the example of our bodies so that we can now turn to Christ and see what he means by his body and how we fit into it. So within his body, the church, there are different people. Different people, different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses, different talents. You see, we're all unique, but we are part of the body of Christ. God has placed each one of us in this setting, in this part of the body, so that we can serve him and his church. We know that within any organization, within the body, within the church, there are some people who lead, there are others who follow. There are some with strong personalities, there are some with weaker personalities. There are some people who are very good with numbers, others who are not. There are some who organize well, some not so much. You see, each one of you has skills and talents and abilities that God says, I have put you here not to serve you or to be served, but you are here to serve the body. Use your gifts. Use them in abundance. Realize that other people are going to be there to serve as well. There shouldn't be a conflict when it comes to serving the body. But you and I know the sinful nature will rouse up and lift its head and will begin to argue and fuss and fight among us. There is no need for that because we're here to serve Christ. The body is to serve God and serve his people. Sometimes those who are strong need to realize that they need to exercise even more patience. Those who are weak need to be encouraged a bit more. In the Corinthian congregation, from what we understand, they were richly blessed with people who had many skills and great thinkers and an ability to accomplish great and wonderful things. But apparently this diversity among its people caused for many disagreements. Disagreements that were beginning to fracture the congregation. And if they didn't get their stuff together, if they didn't realize we are here to serve Christ and to serve others and not ourselves or our own little interest, the congregation would fracture and destroy itself. So as we look at what Paul has to say, I wonder, perhaps some of them were thinking, I wish more people would be like me. I wish those people who are maybe a toe would be an eyeball, because I'm an eyeball. And I think everybody should be an eyeball, because that's my personality, and I think your personality should stop disagreeing with mine. You should become an eyeball. Just because one is different does not mean it's not important. Just because somebody else disagrees with you and has these challenges because you're an eyeball and they're a baby toe doesn't mean they're not useful to the body. Paul writes here in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and little less what we would think useful are to be treated with special honor. Those parts that maybe are a little bashful, we need to honor them and cover them and praise them for what they do and for the ability that God has given them. So I look around our small congregation and say, maybe we ought to be listening to this portion of God's word, because he has placed people in this congregation with unique talents and gifts and skills. We have brilliant minds. We have strong backs. We have people that love to follow. We have people that love to work. We have people who love to lead. We have people who love the Lord and want to serve. We need to incorporate everyone, finding how they can serve in whatever capacity. People say, well, I can't. You know, I'm old, I'm tired, I'm frail, I can't do that. Yet you can pray, and we can encourage you to pray for others. There are things that each and every one of us can do. You have different skills. You have unique personalities. And you are all part of the body of Christ, and you have been called to serve. And we, as the body, should together be moving forward to preach and teach the gospel message to everyone. Not everyone will be the preacher. Not everyone will be the teacher or the organist. But every one of us have a unique part that supports the other. In one way or another, we are part of the body, united in Christ, so that we can preach the message of hope and salvation to all people. It's time for us to listen to what the Lord says. No person is indispensable. No one is unimportant. No one should be overlooked. No one should be pushed aside. No one should be disregarded. But they are all part of the body, with unique gifts and talents and abilities. Together, we need to use each one of our gifts and talents and abilities to share the message with other people, to be united so that this small congregation will be that light on the hill, that beacon of hope that will shine out for all people. Well, we turn to the Corinthians again, and apparently the Corinthians wanted more eyeballs and fewer toes. And the truth was, and unless they really began to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to be patient and strong together, this congregation would ultimately crumble. What was true for the Corinthians congregation then is true for us today. We can't expect everyone to be like me. I can't expect everyone to be like you. God did not design it that way. If you're an ear, be the best ear you can. If you're a baby toe, be the best baby toe you can. If you're a leader, then lead. If you're a follower, then follow. If you can pray, then pray. If you can serve, serve. Find a way that you can offer your skills and talents. And then we as the body will say, let's use those skills and talents doing the preaching of the message. We are united in Christ. He has loved us so that now we can love one another. He has been patient with us so that we can be patient with others. He has given us all unique gifts and talents. There are things I cannot do that I know you can. There are things that maybe I can do that maybe you can't. But yet, together, we are the body of Christ. So we should ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have us do? Well, the answer to me is simple. It's a matter of trust. He calls us to trust in Him with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. He wants us to trust in Him, to believe that He is God who knows what is best, that we should trust in Him as our Savior and as our King. We should believe that He has put everyone in a unique situation with their talents to serve the body, not to cause pain in our side or our neck. He has given everything to us, so we should trust in Him. We trust in Him because He has redeemed us. We could not pay for our sins. We could not overcome the sin-sick soul that we have. So Christ Jesus said, I'll take care of that too. I will live for you. I will suffer and I will die, but I'll rise again. And because I live, you too will live. Because of me, your sins are forgiven. Your guilt has been removed. There is a place in heaven prepared for all those who believe. Let's trust in Jesus because He has done great things for us. We trust in Him completely. And we know that what He has planned for us is good. In fact, He says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I have plans to give you hope and a future. Our God has plans for this congregation. It may not be big and bold compared to other larger churches, but He has a plan for you to testify that He is Christ Jesus, your Savior, God, and King. And He says, well, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't rely on your own skills, but trust in me. You see, God has a plan for everyone in this congregation. He has work set up for you to do. He has given you skills and abilities and personalities that need to be used in this body of Christ. So let us show honor and respect to all our people. Let us love one another with the same love that Christ has for us. Let us forgive each other as Christ has so forgiven us. Let's stop complaining and start rejoicing. Let's give our hearts to God and show love for one another. And truly, we turn to God and confess, Lord, I have been impatient and I have been unkind. And sometimes I gossip and sometimes I have evil thoughts. Forgive me, O Lord. And the Lord says, I have forgiven you. I have taken away your sins. As far as the east is from the west, so are they soon forgotten. Your sins have been redeemed and atoned for. Your guilt has been removed. Yet we stumble and fall, and the Lord says, come to me again. Come. You are my child. I will strengthen you, and I will encourage you. As the body of Christ works together, as people with unique personalities work together, we do so because we are serving first all our God, our Savior, our Lord. And second, we serve others because God has empowered us and called us to serve others with the same joy and honor and respect that he has given to us. So, when we think about our own bodies, remember when you stubbed that little toe and how the body had its pain. The Lord says we should be concerned for one another in the same way. If one part of the body suffers, the whole body is suffering. And the truth is, even when one person is honored, the whole body is honored and rejoices with us. Because we are all part of the body of Christ, we are all uniquely gifted, but we are not independent of one another. Together, you are part of Christ's holy body, redeemed, restored, and forgiven. United in Christ, let us show love and concern for all people. Let us honor God with our bodies and serve Him in whatever way He calls us to do. Amen?
Amen.
We rise. May the Word of God, may the work of Christ, may the power of the Holy Spirit continue to guide, direct, and honor you all the days of your lives. Amen. Having heard God's Word, I now invite you to turn to page 48. In the front of your hymnal. Together, let's sing the Te Deum. We praise you, O God.